Linden, Washington is a wonderful Dutch community. If you want a touch of Dutch, go to Linden. When I went to Trinity Western, I did a human geography report on Linden, having a Dutch heritage myself. Just a wonderful, wonderful community. Well, when we left Linden, we were driving to Abbotsford, back to the border. We saw this sign in the field. And when you have 5 siblings that live in the U.S. and my parents who lived there for 10 years, it kind of jumped out at me. And I thought, I got to take that picture. The reason I wanted to show it this morning is, I know from talking to my in-laws, is the big thing that they're saying is, well, should we vote for Clinton or should we vote for Trump? One of the things that keeps coming out is, which one will appoint the best judges? Which one's going to appoint the judges that will foster, you know, what America was and what we want it to be? So that leads into our topic today, and that is, here comes the judge. So let's dive into Psalm 82 this morning. We will read it together. I am a New King James person, and I like it, and I understand it's a kind of a word-for-word translation, kind of like the ESV or the New American Standard, compared to the NIV, which I understand is more a phrase-by-phrase translation. I may be totally wrong on that, but that's the way I understand that. And but anyway, I work out of the King James, primarily, the New King James. And so let's read Psalm 82 together. We'll carry on. So, Psalm 82. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges amongst the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. Let's just pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you delight in your word, and Lord, so do we. We thank you for this opportunity to look closer into your word. May your Holy Spirit just guide in the words that I should say. But more so, Lord, may your Holy Spirit speak to each of us the things that you would have for us this morning. And we give you thanks and glory in Christ's name. Amen. August 20th, 2015, 1 year ago. I started reading the Bible with a purpose in mind. On August 20th, I began reading the whole Bible, and thank the Lord, a year later, just a week ago here, I finished reading through the whole Bible. That was really, really an accomplishment for me. I've done it many years ago, but God just put that on my heart to do that. When Verna had her funeral, I was really encouraged this spring as, you know, kind of plodding along with August in sight, that Verna had read the Bible every year for many, many years. And I don't know how many years, but a long, long time it sounded like. So I was really encouraged by that. The reason I bring that up is when I started August 21st last year, the Bible I was reading was a one-year Bible. So the Old Testament, the New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs was all laid out for me. So I just had to, you know, look the date and read and go from there. Well, guess where it started? It started in Job chapter 1 and 2. So that was the beginning of my one-year journey. It's interesting because Job 1 and 2 has this word. It says, one day the members of the holy court came together to present themselves before the Lord. And when we look at Psalm 82, the first verse here, it says, God stands in the congregation of the mighty and judges among the gods. This is a picture of God calling the people together, it says the congregation, to have a meeting. As a matter of fact, they're going to have a court meeting. And then he says, he judges among the gods. And who are the gods that this is referring to? Well, when you look at the next few verses, we discover that the gods are the judges, the leaders of countries, the presidents, those with authority in the land are the gods. So God judges amongst the gods, and it says, "How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked." Psalm 82, verse 1 starts with the session that's happening in the courts of heaven. And this psalm is a prophetic psalm in that it's something that's still yet to happen. This is, as we'll see as we go through this psalm, it's going to be something that happens in the millennium when God judges the leaders, when God judges the world. And so when we go into verse 2, "How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked?" This scene is probably on earth here, where God's saying, "You guys are not judging properly. We all want fair judges, but God is saying here, you judge unjustly. You're showing partiality to the wicked." And you know what? I think that is as old as the Psalms, isn't it? In terms of this injustice, or if you go on to verse 3, defending the poor and the needy, that's always been an issue all through the years and the centuries. And it's an issue back then, and it's an issue now. And when God comes back, when Jesus comes back in the future, he's going to judge the world accordingly. "Deliver the poor and the needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked." It's interesting, as I was reading this chapter on our vacation, each day I read it through three times. And it's interesting, verse 3 and 4, the word deliver and defend, you know, those D words start out the verses, mentions the poor twice in those verses, and delivering the poor and the needy, free them from the hand of the wicked. That is what God wants us to do as well, is it not? He wants us to defend those that cannot defend themselves. He wants us to help those who are helpless in whatever ways those are. When we talk about this passage focusing on judges, it's interesting that it's God who appoints leaders, is it not? It's God who puts people in positions of authority. It's God who removes people from positions of authority. And so when we look at the judges on the earth, when we look at the leaders of the nations, these people are the small J, right? And God is the big J. And when judges on earth, in our courts, when leaders who represent us are to make laws, they are to make laws that are fair and just, and yet also they represent God. They're God's representatives to us on earth, and I believe that's really clear in Romans, might be the 14th chapter there. You know, they are appointed by God. They're put in those positions of authority by God. Going on to verse 5 is very interesting. It says, "They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable." When God is looking at the judges of the earth, and I have to be honest, I shouldn't use that word, but my situation, I don't keep track of who our judges are in the land. Even the judges in Red Deer, I think there's maybe two or three of them, but I don't pray for the judges. Like, I have never prayed for judges by name, but I know I do pray for the leaders of our country, our province. But when you look at verse 5, it's like God has a complaint against all these judges of the world and these leaders because they're not defending the poor. They're not helping the needy. But yet God says in verse 5, they don't know. They don't understand. They walk in darkness. And when we think of, you know, elections coming up and, you know, who's going to be appointed as judges, and even in our worlds in which we live, we all want godly leaders, don't we? It's like people who have a fear of God, a sense of God, because without God, we walk in darkness. Isn't it not true? All the foundations of the earth are unstable. When I was thinking about that, I was thinking of the Middle East situation, and that's huge. And I'm not going to go into all that, but particularly the one thing that came to my mind was, and I don't know where you stand on this, but this is the way I hear it and I interpret it myself, but the whole world deal with Iran. It was like, why would all these world leaders come together and make this deal with a country that is really bent on annihilating and destroying Israel? Like, it just, that makes no sense to me at all. Why would you make that kind of deal with a nation that is very open about the nuclear bomb and all these things? Like, it just, that just, to me, that was a situation of darkness. It was like, you know, do they really understand? And I don't, and again, I shouldn't put myself in the place of God, right? I shouldn't be the judge, but that made no sense to me at all. But really, people who don't have God, they walk in darkness. And yet, it's amazing, though, when God points a godly ruler or an ungodly ruler, God's still in control, isn't he? And that's just the amazing thing that... It's like one radio speaker, they always end the program with, things may look like they're falling apart, and in reference to the world. Things may look like they're falling apart, but really, they're all falling into place. I love that. As we look to the future, you know, things are falling into place. And so going on, verse 6, I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Again, that word gods was in verse 1 as well. And this is, again, referring to those in position of authority that they are looked upon as gods. You just think of, are they God? No, but they represent God. And I think of as parents, you know, we had 5 children. I remember being a kid. I remember that fear, that respect of my dad. He's not God, but I had that respect of him that way. As teachers, as employees of employers, they are our judge. They are the ones who pay our bill. You think of even growing up and even, you know, in a lot of circles, think of even our leaders in our churches. It's like they have a certain amount of authority from God. And so are they gods? No, but they represent gods, our elders. So I said, you are gods and all of your children of the Most High. We're all made in God's image. Yet verse 7 says, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. When you read that, it's like God is saying to these judges, to these world leaders, you are like gods. You know, whether you're president of France or prime minister of Israel or prime minister of Canada, premier of Saskatchewan, the premier of Ontario, it doesn't matter. You are like gods. But remember, with all your power, all your authority, your position, you are still mortal. You're going to die like any other man. I think God is looking here when he stands in this court in the future. And even as he looks on the world today, I really believe God says, you know what, guys, look out. You're not all powerful. You are just like men, and you're going to die, and you're going to fall away. Let me read this little quote to you. I Googled a website called gotquestions.org. Got, G-O-T, questions.org. When we look at this passage earlier here, when it talked about the poor and the needy, the fatherless, what does the Bible say? This is what you can type in. What does the Bible say about any question? Or, you know, you have a question about, you know, what's apologetics? Or a question, any question Bible-related or, you know, life-related even, you could type it in. But anyway, what does the Bible have to say about fatherless and the widows? It says over and over again in the Bible, God shows compassion on the fatherless and widows and sojourner. God associates ignoring the needs of the helpless with extreme wickedness and promises judgment on all who refuse to help. When you look at this passage in verse 4 again, you know, deliver the poor and the needy, free them from the hand of the wicked. When people corrupt justice, that's being wicked. When people are unkind, The unborn baby. There's an example of someone that's totally helpless. What happens with abortion is totally wicked. Totally wicked. And just thinking of our situation here where we live, and in terms of the poor and the needy, and maybe some things that we need to do as individuals and as a congregation, and that is, and I know we do already, we support a lot of these organizations. And I put these four up today, particularly because Camp Silversides is just finishing up their camp season. Camp Silversides has an important place in my life because I rededicated my life there as a child. My best friend received Christ at Camp Silversides. Now 3 years working for Shine FM here in Red Deer, 2 years ago, and every year we've done a promotion for camps. One of the camps that participated in the promotion 2 years ago was Camp Silversides. And I was so excited about this. I thought, man, I have some roots here, and we were very happy about this. But this year, Nicole, I believe is her name. She's a new director. But anyway, she said, John, she says, we're not going to participate this year because, and part of the promotion is that the radio station gives away 1 week of camp to every camp participating. I need to say that piece of information. So she said to me, she said, John, we're not going to participate because we give away lots of camp weeks to families every year. Camp Silversides does not turn away campers. If you want to go to camp and you can't afford to go to camp, there's somebody that'll sponsor you. And I was so excited about that. Make-A-Way. Kids camps. I was just heard afresh yesterday about that. They just finished their camp a week ago. Again, make a way is exactly what that says. It's make a way for kids to go to camp. This is a group of people. They rent a camp facility. They got a contract a year ago, so this is their second summer, with a camp on Sylvan Lake. They literally round up in central Alberta kids who are fatherless, kids who no way the mom or themselves are able to go to camp. This year they had 135 kids at camp for the week, and they had over 70 volunteers. Isn't that incredible? And so practical ways of helping the poor and the needy in our community. Shalom Counseling Center. We all know about that right here where we live. Helping our neighbors find peace. Again, many, many needy people in our community are being helped by Shalom and Central Alberta Pregnancy Care Center. We can be praying for these organizations. We can be giving to these organizations. When it comes to praying for those in leadership of these organizations, praying for our public leaders, our officials, praying that they'll have continued favor to organizations like this, that they won't close the door on whatever the issues may be. So those are some practical things that came to mind there. The last verse, verse 8, arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. This is a prayer of Israel in the last days when they call out to God to judge the earth. And God will judge the earth. When Jesus comes back, he ain't coming back as a little baby. He's coming back as judge. He's going to judge this world. And the neat thing is, even though he created it all, he's going to inherit all the nations. And he's going to rule as the supreme judge, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. So this is a prayer of Israel, but may it also be a prayer for you and I as we go on into this week and as we go on in whatever God would have for us. So ask God what he would have you do in terms of showing justice, showing compassion to those who are in your authority this week, in place of work, you know, in your home. May God guide you in that. And we're going to close, I believe, with a song, Holy, Holy, Holy. And I just want to read the third verse of that song. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. You know, it's amazing. Some mornings I wake up and I love my quiet time in the morning with God. I really encourage you, if you don't have a quiet time with God, take some time. If it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, if it ends up being longer, well, so be it. But When I woke up this morning, this song was on my heart. I just started singing, and I thought, okay, what song is this? And as I keep going, it's like, okay, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. That was my prayer this morning. But then I thought, okay, God, why is that song in my heart? So I dug up my hymn book, and I read verse 3. It says, holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the darkness hide thee. The darkness of this world can be hiding God, right? The darkness of this world can blind our judges, blind our leaders to the poor and the needy that are in this world today. The next line says, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see. Those that are in positions of power and authority, if they don't know God, they may not see the glory of God. And yet, that's what we want to see. That's what Israel wants to see, is the glory of God one day again. The next line is, only thou art holy, there is none besides thee. Perfect in power, perfect in power. He's the perfect judge. Isn't that neat? He's the perfect ruler. He's also perfect in love. What a neat combination, and I want to share that sometime with you. He's perfect in power and perfect in love and in purity.